The Psychology of Persuasion.
As with other kinds of public speaking, you will be most effective in persuasion if you approach it systematically. The first step is to understand that persuasion is a psychological process. It occurs in a situation where two or more points of view exist. The different points of view may be completely opposed, or they may simply be different in degree. Whichever the case, there must be a disagreement, or else there would be no need for persuasion.
The challenge of persuasive speaking.
Of all the kinds of public speaking, persuasion is the most complex and the most challenging. Your objective is more ambitious than in speaking to inform, and audience analysis and adaptation become much more demanding. In some persuasive speeches, you will deal with controversial topics that touch on your listeners' most basic attitudes, values, and beliefs. This will increase your listeners' resistance to persuasion and make your task that much more difficult. In every persuasive speech, you will face some listeners who are strongly in favor of your position, some who are neutral, and some who are adamantly opposed. If listeners are neutral or only moderately committed one way or another, you can realistically hope your speech will move at least some of them toward your side. If listeners are strongly opposed to your viewpoint, you can consider your speech a success if it leads even a few to re-examine their views.
How listeners process persuasive messages.
We often think of persuasion as something a speaker does to an audience. In fact, as a great deal of research shows, persuasion is something a speaker does with an audience. Although audiences in the United States seldom interrupt a speaker while she or he is talking, they do not just sit passively and soak in everything the speaker has to say. Instead, they often engage in a mental give and take with the speaker. While they listen, they actively assess the speaker's credibility, delivery, supporting materials, language, reasoning, and emotional appeals. In a sense, the psychological interaction between a speaker and audience during a persuasive speech is similar to what happens vocally during a conversation, as in this example. Jordan.
The federal government really needs to clamp down on hate speech. Publications that demonize gays and lesbians are inciting violence, sometimes even murder.
Keisha. I agree that violence against gays and lesbians is wrong, but I'm not sure censorship is the right approach. There's no proof that these publications actually cause violence. Besides, doesn't the First Amendment guarantee the right to free speech, even for people who support detestable causes? Jordan.
Free speech is important, but people have a right to live without being persecuted. Doesn't our government have a responsibility to do what it can to keep people safe from discrimination?
Keisha. We can't compromise on free speech. It's a very dangerous idea to let someone in government decide what's acceptable speech and what's not. Once we ban hate speech, we might start banning other forms of expression, too. Jordan.
Not necessarily. We already outlaw some kinds of speech because they are dangerous to the community, such as threatening the life of the president or shouting fire in a crowded building. Why is banning hate speech any different?
Much the same kind of interaction might occur during a persuasive speech, except that the listener, in this case Keisha, would respond to herself rather than out loud. What does this mean to you as a speaker? It means you must think of your persuasive speech as a kind of mental dialogue with your audience. Most important, you must anticipate possible objections the audience will raise to your point of view, and then answer those objections in your speech. You cannot convert skeptical listeners unless you deal directly with the reasons for their skepticism. As you prepare your persuasive speech, put yourself in the place of your audience and imagine how they will respond. For this to work, you must be as tough on your speech as your audience will be. Every place they will raise a question, answer it. Every place they will have a criticism, deal with it. Every place they will see a hole in your argument, fill it. Leave nothing to chance.
The target audience.
Unfortunately, no matter how carefully you plot your speech, you will seldom be able to persuade all your listeners. Some will be so opposed to your views that you have absolutely no chance of changing their minds. Others will already agree with you, so there is no need to persuade them. Like most audiences, yours will probably contain some listeners who are hostile to your position, some who favor it, some who are undecided, and some who just don't care. You would like to make your speech equally appealing to everyone, but this is rarely possible. Most often, you will have a particular part of the whole audience that you want to reach with your speech. That part is called the target audience. Concentrating on a target audience does not mean you should ignore or insult the rest of your listeners. You must always keep in mind the ideas and feelings of your entire audience. But no matter how noble your intentions or how hard you try, you can't persuade all the people all the time. It only makes sense, then, to decide which portion of the audience you most want to reach.